The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
The aftermath of every social revolution brings about change. Cultural norms and landmarks shift as our minds and hearts expand beyond the familiar. To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose in the land of the living. This is our time to renew, revive, and restore the hope lost to the busyness of life. This is our time to dig again and rebuild from the storms of our past on a solid footing that holds. Welcome to The Foundation.
The Foundation of Heart Grant is brought to you by Alive, Burger King, Commonwealth Bank, Doctors Hospital, Pinder Tile, Popeyes, Prince Masters, and Ross Electric Motors. Foundation.
Doing what we call Bahama Rock. Hey, 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 hey. Oh, yeah. Bahama Rock. Early in the morning till late at night, everybody's happy. No one's at night. Early in the morning till late at night, everybody's happy. No one's at night. Rock from sun to sun.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM Radio, Howard Grant in your company, The Foundation, live and in full effect on this beautiful Tuesday. Grateful to be in your company Tuesday, January 14th, 2025. I'm always happy to be here as we continue to jam and do our thing here in the studio, talking about what we're talking about yesterday. We deviated just a little piece, just a little taste. Trying to be able to get to the core of what we're talking about. We're still talking forgiveness. Before I do that, I got to shout out my good, decent people over at AFS Insurance Agents and Brokers. They got everything laid out for you. Make sure you go and check them out. If you're in that kind of a space and you need insurance, if you're looking for something residential, you're looking for something commercial, you're looking for something to be able to get done, you have a couple goals and ideas in mind as it relates to being able to get some things done in 2025 and beyond, and you need to be able to find out the foundation, the root, the base of how to be able to do those things, you want to go and check these guys out and get yourself prepared to make that ascent and make some things happen. All right, give them a call, 341-1-AFS. That's the number, 341-1-AFS. Or hit them up at number 407 Blue Hill Road South. They're right there. They can be able to assist you. Just ask for my good friend, Mr. Richardson or Etheric Bow. They'd be more than happy to assist you in that kind of a space. Got to shout out my good, decent people, man. My good guy, he was here with us last week being able to talk about some stuff. Next week, I think we're going to be able to hear from him and talk about these things. This is the modern construction with the fiber reinforcement polymers. And this is none other than my good friend, Avery Lightbourne, just being able to talk about those things. I like his innovation, his passion, his determination, this kind of an idea to be able to bring sustainability into the space and kind of move forward and make some stuff happen. You know, it's hard as an innovator, it's hard as the proverbial John the Baptist, the first one to kind of push these particular things in this space. You're always looked at in a particular manner, but once you remain persistent, consistent, that determined kind of posture, you can be able to get some things happen. If you're in that space and you want to be able to move towards sustainability, towards conservation, towards environmental conservation and make some things happen, you want to give them a call. The number is 822-9527, 822-9527. Or 603 4506. They're located in the Dugard Plaza right there in Palmdale. Well, today we're going to be able to continue what we're doing, guys. Make sure you pick up your Guardian newspaper. All the information's in there. Hospitals, schools hit by strike action. The government claims that minimal impact and Ferguson pleased with the outcome. I have so many words for this. This is tyrannical. I just want to be decent. This is just bananas for me as I see these particular things. We can have a good conversation and talk about that. Wilson warns the government to settle disputes with teachers. Listen to Belinda the other day. I see if I can be able to reach out to her. Belinda, if you're listening to me, let me know when you're available after the 21st. I want to have this kind of a conversation with you. Hope you guys are good out there. Public health system strained by strike. I listened to Ms. Rowe last night. And she started to talk about how I think 25% of the workers in Grand Bahama didn't show up. And she named specifically how much percent of the workers showed up or didn't show up. And you see that there's a significant strain in that particular space. So we're hoping the Prime Minister tells the police to crack down on gangs. Crack down on gangs. I don't know whether or not you had to tell the police that, but I see you seeking to be able to show yourself forward, visible, and being able to do these things. That's a wonderful thing, I guess, in one way or another. But I'm just hoping that it doesn't just provide platitudes. It's sort of an idea of providing words and not necessarily the actions necessary to see our society change. Guys, we're here and we're still on this topic. Last week, I had a good conversation with my good friend, Ambassador Devin Rowe, to talk to us about that. We had great participation. You guys called in and talked about these things, and I want to thank you so much for your participation. But I'm hoping that we penetrate beyond this kind of this verbal commitment. I'm hoping that we can be able to speak to the steps necessary for transformation. I reached out to the Discovery Center. I reached out to several different persons. And I'm hoping that, they gave me some opportunity next week to be able to give you those steps. I didn't want to be able to lean solely from a spiritual standpoint. This is a holistic issue that we got to deal with. There are mental issues. There are spiritual issues, physical issues. There are issues that we have to continue to be able to travail, to push through to get to this transformation that we're looking for. And this is the time. This is the time. This is the first month of the year. Y'all still fighting. I'm hoping that you're doing your fast from your church so you ain't got to be eating and trying to go to the gym the same time. You on the treadmill around here talking about, child, I didn't have breakfast. There's only a little grits and thing. You need to stop, get off the treadmill at the same time. But I'm hoping that you're making these decisions to do the right thing, especially at the beginning of the year. And I wanted to use this time to talk about forgiveness, talk about anger management, and talk about this path to peace that we all aspire to. I think that we do. I think that we do. I think that we are not content with this sort of an idea of the way that we live and we seek peace. And if I ain't speaking for you, I'm speaking for me. And so I'd like you to be able to welcome my good friend who's joining me again today, to be able to dive deeper into these conversations, to talk about forgiveness, to talk about anger management, to talk about this path to peace. None other than Ambassador Devin Rowe. My brother, good afternoon, man. What's happening?
Hey, it's good to be back here, Howard. Good afternoon, Bahamas. It's always a pleasure of mine to be on the air here with my good friend Howard Grant. And I like to say that I always take seriously the opportunity to share thoughts, opinions, ideas with my people here in the Bahamas and, well, the world at large, because we're streaming all over the world. So it's good to be back here. And I got a lot of feedback from our show last week.
You
as
did?
Well, Howard. Yes, yes. Somebody even showed up at the church
at
on
church?
Sunday. Yeah, said. She was inspired by
that is crazy.
By the conversation.
That is crazy.
We had a good brief conversation.
I like that.
And she, I'm not sure she may be a Bahamian who studied abroad, but she sounded American. So
she may have been away for like 2 weeks. I didn't mess with you, man. Say any prayer with you.
I share that to say that there is positive impact that we're having as we discuss these things for our people to hear and weigh in and share in. So I'm grateful for that, and I'm hoping that we can go deeper. You said something just now, a word, and it magnified in my mind. You said path to transformation. And that's important because we don't just need to highlight the issues and or the problems. We need to really begin to dig down and say, okay, how do we recalibrate? Like you said, how do we reset so that we can have long-term benefits? You know, for example, it's a powerful thing. You know, I come out of there. It's a powerful thing to talk about healing. What is more powerful than healing is walking in health. So, like, if you get a healing for something that's communicable, something that you have power not to have, the thing is, what do I do after I get this healing to make sure that I don't find myself in need of healing again? I need to live healthier. So, as we have been dealing with the idea of unforgiveness, and if you listened to last week's show, we talked about the toxicity that exists in it and the fact that when you walk in a position of unforgiveness, you cause yourself to get sick because the way God has made these bodies, when someone says something positive to you, when you are a joyful, happy person, your body is just shooting off endorphins all the time, which is the feel-good hormone, which makes us healthier, which makes us more pleasant and easy to deal with. It's good for us. But when you hold in unforgiveness, you hold in people, you are bitter, you are envy, you've been carrying this thing from you were a child, and now you're in your 40s or your 50s, there's no surprise in the fact that you have certain diseases that are popping up in your body because you're consistently releasing toxins into your system, and this is not good. It's not the way God created us to be. There's a scripture, if we can go there early, John 10, Jesus speaks of his purpose. He says, I came that you may have life and have it more abundantly. And abundant living doesn't look like unforgiveness in your heart and being angry and frustrated every single day. No. This life that we've been given is a gift. And one of the keys to maximize our time here on earth is to release things quickly that don't lend to a prosperous and a productive future. All right. I've said a lot in my introduction, Howard, but I hope it's a good start.
I like that. And one of the things that I have I've realized is that I think that we've been living in this kind of a space where occupation has consumed our minds. We're just busy all the time. We're busy all the time.
Yes, say that.
We don't have time to figure out anything else. We don't have time to ponder on ourselves.
Right.
And ponder on the way that we just got to do it.
And
because of that,
yeah, sorry.
And because of this kind of an idea that we're pondering and just kind of think, I don't think a lot of person even acknowledge or identify. They haven't taken the time.
Right.
They haven't gotten to that quiet space. We started to talk about this.
Yes.
They haven't gotten to this quiet space because of the distractions to even identify whether or not you have some unresolved issues of anger, more specifically, in your spirit. So I like to talk about that. I like to talk about that today, inclusive of whatever you have set up. But I'd like to talk about just this identification. What can, because like I said to you, and I always use my personal stuff, and try to draw this picture for people because I need you to know that this is a real thing that all of us are dealing with. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that I had unresolved issues in my life. I just didn't know. I didn't know. I knew that there were some issues that I did what I was told to do, let it go. Mm-hmm. Well, at least I thought I'd let it go. Mm-hmm. And how do you let it go?
Right.
I don't know how to let it go.
Right.
I know how to move it.
Okay.
So I move it.
Yeah.
And I thought I put it in a room that no one bothers with.
Yeah.
And 20 years later, 15 years later, 10 years later, this thing bothering me.
Yeah.
How do we eradicate that in this particular space, in our heart, in our spirits, that we can be able to say, hey, something in here. Let's see if we can be able to do some spring cleaning. A lot of us don't get to that. This is a room with clutter and tribulation.
It's good.
And it spills out when we least expect it. Because everything else in the house clean, you know.
Yes, yes. And doing well.
And listen, we maintain the house nice. Yeah. But there's this one room, almost like a basement, that has this this latch on it.
Mm-hmm.
And we got this thing padlock. And we don't bother with that at all.
Mm-hmm.
But it spills out at an unopportune time in our lives.
Say it.
Talk to me about this.
So, like if I was about to go and give a sermon or a lecture or a presentation, I would say, please, take notes. A sharp pencil is better than long memory. Here's one of the things that we do, Howard. We, for the person who doesn't just lash out and do craziness the minute they're hurt or offended, in their early life, what they do as a coping mechanism is they practice suppression.
Mm.
So when you develop a culture of suppressing things that hurt you or offend you, your daily practice of introspection, and so you end up with a chest of unresolved issues that you never open except to put more suppression, pain, and hurt in that chest. So this chest is exploding and just waiting for the opportune moment to lash out on whoever hits the wrong button. And I think we do it and we're not even aware that we are doing it. And trust me, it will come out at some point, and usually at the most inopportune time, where it causes embarrassment, where it causes hurt, where watch this, because everything is going good, it will shock the living daylights out of the people who you have the explosion in front of.
But you too.
Yeah, that's true.
I can't believe.
It's going to shock you too, because that was in me.
I was decent trying to, you know what I'm saying?
So the practice of, because somebody may be wondering, what does suppression mean? It means when issues happen in your life that offend you or hurt you, so as to not deal with it, and you may not deal with it because I may not handle this right, and I may end up hurting somebody, or I may embarrass the family because the family is big on just pushing things under the rug. Don't touch that. Don't touch that. Well, I've said this many times on this radio station. We have a culture in the Bahamas of pushing things that need to be dealt with under the rug, and this is a horrible practice.
But I want to touch this with you before you get deeper into this, because you start to say we practice suppression.
Yeah.
But I want to beg to differ with you with the practice thing.
Go ahead.
We're taught that. Because as a child, I only know what was presented to me. I know the anger that was presented to me. I know the indifference that was presented to me.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result of what was presented to me, now they give me instructions on how to deal with what they throw on me.
Yeah.
They say, here, bam. Now the anger reached me. I don't know how to deal with this. Then they say, let it go. And so this is the suppression that they teach you to kind of just let it go, push that down, don't bother with that.
Mm-hmm.
Let sleeping dogs lie.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know if you're contradicting me. I think
no, I'm gonna contradict you now. I just want to say this is a culture of practice.
It's taught. I agree with you. I agree with 1,000%.
So the first thing that the introduction of this, we didn't know that to do this.
Right.
We just have this thing now, and we're dazed and confused. We're baffled. What do we do with this?
And if you're over 40 years old, you weren't permitted to share your thoughts.
You had to shut up.
Yeah.
You had to shut up.
Just deal with it.
Or get slapped in your mouth. That's just unfortunate, and that's just what it is.
Yeah.
So we've never learned to talk about anything. So as we grow, as we develop, whatever bubbles to the surface, now we know, okay, hey, this thing coming up, let me suppress it.
Yeah.
So we do practice suppression.
Yeah.
But as children, where this hurt came to us, this indifference came to us, we didn't understand what to do with this.
Yeah. So we practice suppression, and also, in addition to having that culture, we also have the culture of not getting help later either. We don't believe in sitting with a counselor and saying how we feel. We've been taught that our feelings are irrelevant, and that's not good. I'm thinking right now about a situation, I think it might have been something that came on social media, where a parent was given an instruction to a child. And after the parent obviously threatened discipline, the child actually sat down, but the child said to someone else, I may be sitting down, but in my mind, I'm still standing up. that's a beautiful idea of the effect of suppression, because what that was, it was the fake appearance of submission. And anytime submission in any regard is forced, it's no longer submission, because the idea of submission is I voluntarily come under the mission or the desire of someone else. Sub is under, mission refers to an assignment. So I think we need a shift in our culture from that same vantage point in terms of parents and children, where, yes, parents, you are the authority and you ought to have the final say in your home, but I think it would be wise to begin to engage the children more conversationally to find out how they think about the instruction you give? How did they think about the note you gave them when they requested that thing? Because as a man, think it, so is he. So even though he may, even though he is made to submit,
you present submission.
You think in rebellion and it's looking for the opportunity to do it. And so as that child now thinks, I'm tall as daddy, or I'm taller than mommy. This is my opportunity.
That's crazy what you say.
This is my opportunity to tell you, you're not going to control me no more. So, but you may have been able to avert that had you had a conversation and see how this child is thinking, because more than likely their thought process is wrong. But you're not even having the opportunity to speak to it and bring correction. I think it was Dr. Monroe many years ago, he said he advised a president that he says, no matter how many bullies you send over into the or weapons you send over into the Middle East, you're not going to change the mindset of those people, because you don't change mindsets or ideas with bullets. You change it with a better idea or ideology. So in order to influence the way people think, you have to find out how they think, and that requires conversation. So we have to become better communicators. We have to stop being afraid of speaking about the things that matter. And this is not just from the child's point perspective. I'm talking about as adults, because, again, this was a really, for me, a big point in our conversation last week. We are not having authentic relationships with each other as adults. It's sad because of you, and you're not experiencing the best of me, because we don't know how to share how we feel.
All this is tolerance.
Yes.
I just tolerate you.
Very nice.
To get from around you.
So we have a very tolerant society.
Yeah, everybody's tolerant with each other. And we're impatient, but we try to be able to present ourselves tolerant. Right? Until you tick us off. And it's very quick. This is a short fuse.
Yeah.
We ain't got the time for it. Yeah. We got things to do. I got things to do. I got things to do. You understand?
Yeah.
And so I don't have the time for that. I present tolerance to you. That a lot of the relationships that were authentic, I said this to myself. I didn't tell my wife this. Mm-hmm. But I don't have, I can't remember a time where I had friends, like real friends, authentic friends that you could say something to, that you can talk with, and they call this information, and it's locked between us.
So this is going to be weighty. It's very hard to have a mutually beneficial, intimate relationship in or partnership, for those who don't subscribe to marriage, when you did not learn how to have true and pure friendships. Because I think friendship is the foundation for true romance and true intimate relationship. Because to have real intimacy, I have to care about how you feel. To have real intimacy, I need to have...
And you never cared about nobody before.
Exactly.
So while you're all of a sudden, because of the design of society, and you think you being decent, you want to ascend towards marriage, but you've taken no steps to be able to commune with anyone else.
We have so belittled relationship to the little corner of physical entanglement. We think physical entanglement is relationship. And I like to use this when I talk sometimes, even in spiritual settings. I said, the lowest animals have physical entanglement.
Wow.
We as humans, this thing that we've elevated so high, we make billionaires out of the sex industry. We sell every product with nudity. Bull is gone all crazy over it. But dogs do the same thing that we do.
Wow. Let me take this quick commercial break, ladies and gentlemen. Get right back. We're still talking forgiveness. We're talking anger management. And we're talking this path to transformation and this path to peace. Quick commercial break. Going to be right back after this.
The foundation. Chicken lovers, listen up. Popeyes is serving it up for you. Get 5 pieces of juicy, hand-battered bone-in chicken for just $10. That's right, 5 pieces of Louisiana-style flavor, fried to golden, crispy perfection for only $10. But don't wait, this deal won't last forever. Head to your nearest Popeyes today and grab your 5 piece for just $10. Popeyes, where the chicken's always worth the hype. Available for a limited time. time only.
On Saturday, February 22nd, 2025 at 7 p.m., the Bahamar Convention Center will set the stage for an unforgettable celebration of 25 years of giving back and supporting healthcare education in the Bahamas. Experience a night of excitement with exquisite fine dining, captivating live entertainment, and an inspiring atmosphere as we come together to celebrate and shape a brighter, healthier future. Tickets are available now. Reserve your spot today by emailing dhfoundation@doctorshosp.com or calling 242-302-4640. Sponsorship opportunities are also available to show your support for this important cause. The Doctors Hospital Meyer Rassen Foundation. 25 years of transforming healthcare and building a legacy. Don't miss this special celebration.
Okay, and we're back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio, Howard Grant and your company, The Foundation. We're still here. We're having a conversation. I want you guys to participate if you want to be able to get in there and have a good conversation and maybe give us one. If you can give us one of your stories, please, you could leave the names of the stories that all these particular persons out, and we could still be able to get to the meat of it and give an example so persons could be able to recognize and understand, because that's essentially what this is about. And that's why I give you my stories. I give you my stories not for you to be able to understand the flawed man that I am, not for you to be able to see perfection in me if I give you a good story, but I want you to understand that humanity, the human element that exists in me, exists in all of us, especially given the fact that I've been cultured and groomed in this society, in this culture. And so I know the rhythm of my people. I know what we into. I know the things that we do and we don't do. And I know that issues that a lot of us have not dealt with in our lives. We got a cousin, we got an uncle, we got a friend, we got somebody in our lives that if they drop down dead today, and that's the ways, kill them. Jesus, that's the ways, because they too, these are the things that we go through. But I think it has to come to a point as we continue to be able to spiral into the future at rapid speeds in this country, in the world, and recognize that things are happening all around us, there needs to come a quiet time in our hearts, in our space, for us to understand that it's time for us to declutter this room that we stuffed tribulation in over the years. We have to declutter this. We have stuffed it in there, slammed the door shut, and just sought never to deal with that. These things can pop up in your children. They can pop up later on in your marriage. They can pop up later on in your life. They may pop up in your health. It's best to identify this demon face to face and deal with that thing as opposed to being able to ignore it and watch it swell and to a point where you're, enraged and do something that's unheard of. So I want to be able to talk with it. I'm here with none other than Ambassador Devin Rowe today, being able to talk to us about these particular things. And that's what I wanted to talk to you about. You start to talk about this practice of suppression, this idea that over the years we've continued to be able to suppress that and being able to move away from those things. I used to watch movies when I was young, all these movies. And whenever there was as I matured in movies and whatnot and watched different stuff, whenever there was an argument between a husband and a wife or a couple and the guy just gets up and he leaves, I never saw that before. I never saw that. Mm. I didn't see that when I was growing up. The man don't leave nothing. He can stay. Mm-hmm. Now, I've seen in my grandfather, he don't say nothing. I've seen him sit there and just don't say nothing. Mm-hmm. And I said to myself, this man wouldn't say nothing. And my grandmother digging in, and she wouldn't stop. When I met you, you didn't have this rowdy, right? Because, you can't not row around the children. We hear. So we can hear you. Mm-hmm. And my father, the same way, he may throw two words, but for the most part, he's been quiet. Mm-hmm. And so through observation, I said, I don't know how I can deal with this. The fact that I can get in a row one day. I know I can get in a row one day.
but I didn't know how to deal with it because I saw so many different examples and didn't know what was the right one. I chose one for myself.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right.
Which was not an option on the table, but I designed one myself.
Right.
I have to win Rouse. I have to win this and let the people know if they're wrong and I see them wrong, I can't stop. I got to let you know you're wrong.
Yeah.
And that don't make sense to me as I grow and I mature.
Now, I don't know if our generation is to blame for this or we inherited this, those of us from the 70s and early 80s. But we had a culture, I remember it very loudly in my head now, when we were in primary school, where we didn't believe in taking last.
No, I ain't taking no last.
So we'll be sneaking hits on people all day long. Or you hit. Or running from behind and slapping that person to get them back. And that kind of petty practice has spilled into different areas of our life, where if somebody hurts me, we gonna
that's the practice.
We gonna get them back. It's not Christian, but if you don't address it, if you don't confront it, it'll remain a part of your life. You'll be 75 years old in the bed and still rowing over something that happened 30 years.
I've seen it. I don't want this for me.
Yeah,
I've watched some men in this life. I've watched some men. Mm-hmm. As you know, I tell you these things, and I tell the listening audience this. I take great pride in this sort of an idea that I'm given access to older men, right? I don't say nothing. They like you. They like you. Boy, you remind me of me when I was young. Stop lying. But anyway, I can go with it, right? So I'm sitting here and listening to these stories. And in listening to these stories, they don't just tell you the stories of yesteryear. They start to tell you stories about their lives.
Mm-hmm.
They start to tell you stories about what they would have gone through. There's one old gentleman that he and I were very good friends over the years. He said to me, we were sitting out fish fry, the guy who just saw downstairs healed me. This is his space we would sit by fish fry. And they would talk politics and all these things like that. And he would tell me, I say, you getting home? He say, yeah. Now, this is almost 8:30 in the night. Why this man ain't home yet, taxi driver? I said, why he ain't home yet? Every night this man out here, why he ain't home yet? And I realized he says to me over conversation that him and his wife ain't sleep in the same bed for 40 years. He been married, but see, but 50 years. You understand? He said he ain't touched his wife in over 40 years. That's what he's telling me. He passed on now. He's died. He's died.
No, sir.
I'm telling you the truth.
And they stayed together in the same house.
They've stayed together. What is stayed together? That doesn't make sense.
But they weren't together.
So I ask him, you know, he's getting people business heavy. So I ask him, I say, so what you doing? He said, well, I stayed for the children. I said, these children 50. What you telling me? He said, well, you know, you start, you say you're staying for the children at first, and then you really created this culture where this is just the way that we live. And you accept that.
Yeah.
You don't resolve anything, you accept it. And he died.
Yeah.
He passed away.
You'll be,
he never fix it.
I think we'll be afraid to discover the amount of people
I don't want that
listening
me.
Right now who are kind of living that reality.
You could go to church with your woman, you dress the same way she dressed, and when you go home, y'all don't talk, y'all sleep in different room. You just like Al and Peggy Bundy, where y'all have two different beds. Remember, you used to watch TV back in the day, and husband and wife used to have twin beds in the room, which is weird, right?
Yeah, indeed.
Right. But this is how some people actually live.
Yeah.
And it's all because of an unresolved issue, mm-hmm. and anger, and some unforgiveness that they had.
Yeah.
And I want to talk about that. I want to talk about the fact that I don't want to be this person at 60 years old that hasn't dealt with some real issues in life. I got a caller on the line. You want me to take the call?
Sure.
All right, 232. It's 325-4316, 325-4259. Anywhere from the family of islands, 242-300, 5720. Hit me up, 422-4796. That's a text line. Caller on the line. Go ahead.
Hey, good afternoon, Mr. Grant.
Hey.
Good afternoon to Brother Road.
What's happening, my brother?
Good afternoon.
Everything all right. you know, I think your guest is familiar with music, Howard.
Yes, man. He's a musician.
And I think he understands the importance of resolution in music. Like when you playing chords, it has to resolve.
Yes.
And because without resolution in our music, it's confusing. It make no sense.
It's very confusing.
Same thing with life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Amen. There's no resolution.
This is a good call you did.
Yes, sir.
This is a good call. I like
confusing.
That.
There has to be resolution for life to make sense,
yeah.
and for life to be harmonious and flow in a way that, like I say before, is you know, is comprehensible.
My God, you can't get a melody without resolution.
No, you need resolution, Howard. You need resolution.
This is brilliant.
I like this. I appreciate you telling Fumuko.
I know that music itself is a language and whole, you know, life within itself.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
You know, that kind of, we can learn a lot from music.
Yep.
So, but,
There's something also called a suspended chord, and when you go to a suspended chord, it leaves the person feeling like you're supposed to take them someplace else, but you never take them.
You build attention. Attention is important too. The more attention you can build before you resolve, the better the music.
Yeah.
You were heavy today. I appreciate you calling, my brother. Thank you so very much.
He wanted to say something else.
Go ahead. You want to say something else? Oh, he gone. He gone. Right? That's heavy today, because I often think about this.
Yeah. So, what are you saying there about not resolving? Is how we get that chest of frustration and unforgiveness filled up, because we never resolve issues. And then, when we talk about a culture or a habit is action or non-action that you do automatically. So you don't even have to think about it, because you did the same thing so many times, it becomes a part of your routine. And when you have a routine that when we have an issue that we disagree on, we start the conversation, or we immediately go to arguing, and then we just walk off and we slam the doors, that's a problem. You know what? This is going to be very extremely sensitive, but I'm going to say this so people understand how serious this is. Get better and coming to resolve on major issues. I walked into a school about 15 or more years ago, because I did a lot of ministry in the schools. Would go and help them out in assemblies, go and do counseling whenever they asked me to. And I went to check on a student at C.C. Sweeting. I think it was the high school then. And there was some students in the office, and there was a girl. And this girl, she looked so depressed. I said, are you okay? Come to find out, this young lady was being molested continuously by her mother's boyfriend, who lived there, and I'm like, is this true? I said, have you told the police or told anybody? She said, we went to court and nobody believed me. My mother didn't believe me, and it just got through out. I said, how is this possible? I said, when you've been affected by him, is your mother at home? She said, my mother's right at home when it happens. I said, that's not true. She said, yes, sir. I said, how is that possible? She says, what used to happen is the guy would pick a fight where mother's tendency was to get extremely heated, and every time they fought, she would just curse him out and slam her door, lock it, go to sleep. The rest of the night was his. And this girl was being abused because of this culture that they had, where we just round, we slam the door, we don't talk, and I shut you out, and then you're free to do whatever you want to do. And this young lady was being abused. Of course, thankfully, there was a social worker there with me at the time, and he stepped in and looked into that situation. But it's crazy stuff that happens when we put these crazy practices on automation in terms of how we deal with issues. I guess we're causing the nation right now, those who are listening, to take a major introspection with this, because we need to change the way we think. This is how you change your actions, by changing your thought. You know, the scripture, Romans 12, to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Change happens when you change the way you think. Even in our spiritual circles, when we talk about, sometimes we don't even know what the word repentance truly means. It doesn't simply mean to say sorry. It means to change the way you think about something that you've been doing. And when you change the way you think about it, then you change the way you handle it. You stop doing the same thing you used to do. Isn't that what one should do when you say you love people? If I love you, then I shouldn't intentionally be doing the things that hurt you.
Wow.
Yeah.
Not intentionally.
Not intentionally. Not intentionally. And even if you're unintentionally doing it, you should have the patience and the desire to listen to how what you do makes me feel. That's maturity in relationship.
You know, and I want to talk about that. I called around and I asked some, this is the issue that I have with consultants. I have an issue with consultants.
Right.
Consultancy is is dedicated to a particular segment. Let's say you're not dealing with a quadrant. Let's say you're not dealing with a culture. If you're dealing with a technology, I could give you consultancy on the technology.
Right.
But the consultancy is, how can I incorporate this technology into your culture? I have to know your culture.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what it is. Mm-hmm. Whatever I'm consulting you on, I may be an expert in this particular field, but I have to talk about it. And the issue that I have with consultants is that they don't necessarily know the Bahamas. They don't know. They know their product. They know what they offer, but they don't know the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
From a political standpoint, you know politics. You know how the Democrats and the Republicans play, but you don't know the Westminster system, sir.
Right.
You don't know how we operate in this particular space, right, sir. And that's how I feel about certain persons who are in this this therapeutic educated space, right? This kind of their expertise exists based upon what they've gotten from a book. But if you don't understand the culture of the Bahamas, it's difficult.
That's a very beautiful observation. So if you hire me as a consultant, firstly, that means that you've examined me, look at my credential, and see that I have expertise in a certain area, right? So when I come to your company or organization, I should not come there doing a whole lot of talking at all. The first thing I should do is come and observe for a specified period
of
time.
That's what they're supposed to do.
That's what you should do.
And any good consultant have to find a local consultant who can be able to navigate this particular space.
To be advised.
That's all I'm saying to you. Yeah. What I'm saying is that the difficulty that I've had in terms of being able to find someone to speak to this is that you have to know the Bahamian people.
Yeah.
You have to know the tribulation that we suffered. You have to know the 80s crack babies that exist out here. You have to know who homes have been ravaged by this sort of an idea of HIV. And you have to know about this sort of an idea where they had to send children out to the family islands and their cousins, so forth and so on, to know that we keep certain things quiet. You have to know that mama them used to keep the crazy uncle. Don't. You must stay from Ron Jr. because he used to bother with the children. You have to know these things.
Well, here's the equation of our thought process and why we develop these bad habits. And this demon is called the spirit of familiarity.
That's crazy.
We tend not to have respect for that which we are familiar with. And that's where this nonchalance comes in. We're not even caring about how people feel.
That's exactly what you're saying.
Or how they think.
You tend not to have respect with which you're familiar with.
Yes.
Is this why they don't bother with the local consultants? This is heavy what you're saying.
That's what inspired the thought. It's a lack of respect. It is a lack of respect. Look, I tell you what.
Even in the word of God that actually speaks about honor in your own home.
Yep.
Like a prophet. You didn't necessarily have to be the prophetic mantle, but you have the insight and can provide information outside of the norm. But you still don't have no honor among the people that you come.
You know how I get some of my greatest leads in certain things I'm dealing with in life now? Listening to my children. But I've taken that position because I think back on times when I was a younger man and I wanted to say stuff and none of the adults would hear me. And literally years later, I found out that had they heard me, what the negative things that happened would not have happened. So I listen, and not that you take everything that you hear, the child says, but oftentimes you can get a lot of ideas and wisdom from the younger people who right inside your right in your house. So so there is a scripture that talks about a prophet, it is without honor except in his own hometown, which means because of the spirit of familiarity, people don't value the people they know. And this is sad because sometimes the best thing for your life is that person who's close to you, but you won't give them the chance. But the wise, that will help you with that too. There's a scripture that says, watch this, it's very big. Know no man according to the flesh. No man according to the flesh, which means don't be casual with that person. You don't know the level of intellect, wisdom, anointing, favor that's on that person's life. You may not be able to see it now, but it's only a few days from being manifested. So that's the way I look at everybody. I don't know. I don't. How a guy is sitting before me, I don't take that casual. There's a greatness on you that may open a door for me in the future in some way or the other. Or even for my children or somebody I know. And I think if we mature to that point and begin to handle people if, let's say it this way, handle people according to the potential that lies in them. I think we will be more mature in our dealings, more forgiving, more understanding, like more patient.
I like this. Ladies and gentlemen, let's take this quick commercial break, get to news, and let's get back to this good conversation right after this.
The Foundation with Howard Grant. We'll be back right after this.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
Everything is bigger and better at Burger King Nassau. When you have a big appetite, BK has a royal deal for you. Get a flame-grilled double Big King Jr. or an original chicken sandwich, plus four chicken nuggets, small fries, a drink, and a fresh baked cookie for only $9.95, including VAT. The royal deal was built for a big appetite. And at $9.95, including VAT, it's a steal of a deal. Go big and enjoy the BK flavors you love with the $9.95 royal deal at Burger King Nassau.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM.
Foundation. The Foundation. Foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio. Howard Grant and your company, The Foundation, live and in full effect on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. Still a lot here talking what needs to be said. For all those persons who have hot button issues, hot topics that you want to be able to talk about, you want to talk about the union. You want to talk about Perry Christie and his particular posture and position, being able to come out and talk about what was happening in the Grand Bahama Port Authority and so forth. And you want to talk about these things. You know that we're going to have a sufficient time and opportunity to do that. And I want to do that. Just like how you've taken the time out for the beginning of the month, for all of you who've actually done this, the beginning of the month, the beginning of the year, to be able to resolve, to evolve, to take this kind of a time out, to shred yourself of the unnecessary burdens and the distractions that exist in your life, this is the same thing that we're doing in this space. This is what we're doing. And some of the issues that we have that continue to linger from year to year, unresolved, even though we exist, is forgiveness. And I wanted to be management to that and the anger that exists in this particular space. And so I just want to talk with you with that. And so shred yourself of this sort of an idea that says, why, Howard, ain't talking about these topical issues? Why ain't talking about these local issues? Why ain't talking about these current issues? Yeah, we can get time to that. We have enough time for that. But what needs to be discussed is some of the things that we haven't spoken about. Some of the things that exist within you that is tumultuous, that you fight with on a day-to-day basis. And you have to acknowledge it. You have to acknowledge it. Any of us who's worth our salt and seek to be able to move in righteousness, I just want to be decent. You have to acknowledge this. There's no perfection that exists in us. Like my grandma used to say, oh, you was Jesus Christ. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. I don't know. So let's get to a space and a place where we could be able to come face to face with our indifference, with our tribulation, with those factors that continue to be able to cause us to slip up when it's time for us to be able to grab hold of the victory that is in our eyesight. We could see it, man. We could almost touch it. But for some reason, we could never get to it because of these anchor that hold us down. I'm here with my good friend, Devin, Ambassador Devin Rowe, being able to talk about these things. My brother, talk to me about this.
What is it, Shakespeare, unto thy own self be true? Mm-hmm. I think that is very important, to know yourself, to know your limits, to know your triggers, And again, we can word and this practice of introspection, which simply means taking a break, looking within, take a moment out of your day, meditate, think about your actions, think about how you were feeling, think about the things you said. This is good practice to those of you who practice praying as well, because when you pray, you should kind of take introspection of your day and say, Lord, I didn't quite get this right. Please help me to be better in this area. Because when you look within, I think without denying the truth, you can become healthier. And I think that's the reason why many of us don't mature, Howard, because we lie to ourselves. We lie to ourselves. The coping
well, what sense that make, though?
It makes no sense.
How you can lie to you?
Yeah.
Who that helping?
Yeah.
I'm
is
fine.
Is that helping anybody? But
I'm fine. No, you're not.
But we think it's okay because it helps us to preserve.
Well, I don't care. Yes, you do.
It helps us to preserve the false image that we want to give off to people. You know, that's a part of the culture too. We don't ever show you the real self.
We as Bahamians, we're chameleons. And this is something that we've been taught. Mm-hmm. And this ain't our fault. This is just something that is a part of who we are in our DNA, maybe as we came over as slaves and understand how a lot of persons call it now. They call it code switching. We switch codes. When it's time for us to be able to be in an international space and when it's time for us to find ourselves being able to have conversations with persons abroad and doing all these particular things, we know how to do it. My cousin laughed at me one day in the hotel and I said, "Hi, how are you?" "Oh, it's wonderful for you to be..." Yeah, because, you know, you work in this space and you're tired of people saying, "Huh? Huh? Huh?" And so now you amalgamate your speech, your language, your inflections to be able to mimic what they do so they could be able to get through, so we can get through this conversation faster.
You know why this is one of the reasons, and this just came to me just now while you were talking, why this is dangerous, this whole culture of presenting the false self, is because our country is so blessed by God that it's so attractive to the world. That the world is coming here in droves. And I mean, and this has been happening now for decades. But now we have this phenomenon whereby the young intellects of our country are fleeing the country. Mm-hmm. So Bahamians putting out this false narrative. We think that nothing's good here, but we live the fake narrative, smile to everybody, but we don't desire to be here because we don't feel like we treat each other well. So we want to leave our country, our birthright, while the world wants to come here and set up shop.
My God.
Is that not crazy?
That's crazy.
And if we don't get clarity on who we really are and embrace our identity, soon there will be no true, authentic identity.
Not the way that we envision it.
No.
Not the way that we imagine it.
We'll have a new crossbreed something.
Big time. Let me take a telephone call. Call on the line with us live. Go ahead. Go ahead, caller, you're on with us live. Next call. Caller on the line with us live, go ahead.
Yeah, Howard, I had to call about mine. You cut me before I didn't make an appointment.
Oh, I apologize, man. Yeah, he was saying that you wanted to say something. Sorry about that. Go ahead.
Yeah, everything all right. And I was saying, what I wanted to say was that I had when I used to see people on the street, people, what they say, might have gone crazy and different things, right?
Mm-hmm.
I used to say to myself, I wonder what it has caused them to be like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that kind of way. And I think unresolved issues could be unresolved issues and injustice.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Could be things that cause them to be like that. Because sometimes I see them, you know, you see them arguing with themselves in the street. Such moments, you know, because even myself, like in life, sometimes I catch myself certain things that are unresolved and they bring anger to me sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of way. Mm-hmm. So I believe that sometimes.
Even if I'm washing dishes and something go through my mind and I scream out, I said, hell no.
You understand where I'm coming from?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because sometimes when you, and the thing about it too is that it could stem, a lot of it stems because talking about how as children over a certain age, we were not allowed to speak up for ourselves or not allowed to even talk, you know what I mean? And that teaches us to like even stop ourselves from saying things when we are adults.
Wow.
You know what I mean? We are trained.
That practice of suppression now bleed in every other part of our lives.
Yeah. So when you crazy. So sometimes you things that you should say you don't say, and then later on, it comes back. You say, Mona K, I should have said this.
I should have said this, yeah.
You understand where I'm coming from? Because back from small. Mm-hmm. And I saw this thing about a week or two ago on the internet where this person was saying that a black child's first bully is their parent.
Ooh, wow.
You understand where I'm coming from? And when you think about it, that's a reality.
Yeah, that's strong.
You understand where I come from? Because like how Brother Rowe was talking, we don't have that ability to communicate in a certain way. And Howard, when you were talking about things you used to see on TV, when I used to sit down and watch movies sometimes, and the way people communicate on the screen, I never saw that in real life.
No.
I'm talking about the deep expression of self that Brother Rowe was talking about. You know, where you talk from the heart, more or less.
I never see that. I never saw that.
I don't see that in real life. Like, that's something that don't exist. You know what I mean? Like, I don't, you know.
Right, so this is only in the movie.
Yeah, but it shows you a level of human connection that we should be experiencing, though. You understand? And then see what it does. See, for me, I keep putting question upon question out in my mind. That's what I do, you know what I mean? And see, and when we talk about these things, about how we behave and how we act, we have to understand, we have to ask for why and, you know, what causes, et cetera, et cetera. And when we talk about these things, we have to talk about our history and where we come from in slavery. You know, that kind of way. We have to do that, Howard, because if we don't include all of that, then we would probably miss the kind of medicine that we need to introduce to ourselves. Or we might fail.
I really like this call.
Or we might fail to really take a look and understand the patient we're dealing with. We may misdiagnose the patient because we're not really getting to the root of what's causing this thing.
I like this call.
Deep thinking. You
understand my point, too. Because, see, like I've expressed in the past, like, because if you were to trace father back like that, like, who taught my father to be a good father? And then who taught his father to be a good father? And if you keep doing it back, then we'll be a time when we were in slavery. So who taught my father in slavery to be a good father when he was a slave? Nobody. So when he was released, He only had the mechanisms of slavery in his mind to carry out. That's why punishment is such a big thing in the black community, beating and whipping you, because that's what they know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because when I used to watch TV, and when I was coming up, I never used to see the white families
beating each other.
No.
But you watch a black family something. Somebody can get slapped.
You know what I mean? When you watch the movie, the black guy, he's taking off his belt.
Yeah. Indeed.
On the TV. You understand where I come from, right? Yeah. You know what I mean? Like that, it was, but I mean, I used to watch white children slam the door on their face. Oh, I hate you, bam! Slam the door on their face. Oh, and the white, and the parent walk away or
something.
Oh, Timmy, you're grounded. you understand what I mean? It was a different type of punishment. It was a different, it was almost.
Discipline existed, but it wasn't this kind of a physical thing.
It was almost as if they were still allowing the child to be themselves.
This is what you're saying, sir. Is so
I appreciate your call, my brother. Thank you so much.
But hold on. But you got more.
Go ahead with your more. Let me get the next call.
Let me see if I can remember my little point now. I think I wanted to say one last thing if I could recall it. But
right now, call back.
But I think what I wanted to say too is that, I think we need to understand too the Howard that I watched this other thing, and they was talking about how individualism versus like a community based society.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And because of our interaction with slavery, we have this individualist type mindset. Right? And I was watching this thing where it says that in white culture, like in European culture, there was scarcity in their communities. So they grew up with a different mindset. Like they grew up with a mind to always want to take, and because scarcity caused them to even make weapons, to take things from people, to conquer people because of their lifestyle, because there was no abundance. You know, the kind of would say, but when black society, we had abundance, so it was like this communal thing. You know, we have listened to the things we say, takes a village to raise a child and all these different things. We had that type of community society, you understand? But see, we need to get back to that because that is us. But like I said before, we need to understand that when we talk about these problems, we need to try to get to the root, you know what I mean? So we could really understand exactly why we are the way we are and why we do the things we do. But I agree wholeheartedly with Brother Rowe when he said that we need to encourage children to speak.
Mm-hmm. I like it.
You know, that kind of, because not only are you able to learn from them, but you learn what's going on with them too. And sometimes you are able to think that sometimes they will have, like, sometimes children have problems in their life, right? Mm-hmm. And to them, it's a big deal. But for you, you know, that's a child. That's something they shouldn't even worry about. But if they don't tell you about it, then that could be overwhelming to them sometimes. But if they communicate with you, then you could just get them a little sentence and say, hey, man, bloom, 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 and that's all within them. So it's good to know what's going on with them and good to let them express themselves. People like to talk about the camp. You shouldn't be a friend with your child. That's exactly what you should be. Mm-hmm. You understand where I'm coming from? Because you could be a disciplinary and you could be a friend to your child because you should want your child to be like a best friend to you, so you could know exactly what's going on with them, so they could feel free to tell you any and everything, so you could tell them what to say too when they're out and what not to say. If you understand where I'm coming from, Howard.
I like your telephone call.
Anyhow, but you and Brother Wood, y'all have a good day, man.
He's a good, decent man. I appreciate it, man. I like what you're saying. I like being able to talk the way that he is. I can let you speak. There's a couple of things I wrote down when he started to talk about unresolved issues and injustice that people look for. And then he started to talk about this individualism versus the societal concept. And then he's this kind of a black child. Mm-hmm. The first bully is their parent. That's heavy for me.
Yeah, that was
heavy. But he started to travel way back to his great-great-great-great-great-grandfather without taking into consideration that one of the mechanisms for survival in slavery was to always subject yourself and prepare your children to bow, to genuflect to these particular things. We haven't left that.
In order for the slave system to work, which was an economic system,
that was the beginning of colonialism right there.
One sect of people had to see themselves as less than the other sect of people. And so the way they enforced that was through very harsh physical punishment.
And acquired colonists to be able to carry this mindset into their homes, which was our fathers and mothers.
Yeah.
So they start beating us the same way.
And then in slavery, they enforce the class system because the lighter slaves, okay, you come in, you be in the house.
Segregation, all the things. Straight true. This thing ain't stopped yet, you know.
And then you had other slaves appointed to keep the other slaves intact. So, I mean, it's a huge mental depraving kind of situation. But I mean, I think the scripture that says when light cometh, darkness can longer abide. This is why conversations like we're having now is so, so important. I hope nobody thinks this is a waste of time, because when you bring these things to the forefront, you open the door for light to come in, for healing to happen, because you don't have to live the reality of your forefathers. And this is where the healing comes in now with scripture, because in scripture we have a model. Even if you had a bad example in your life, young men, you didn't have a father figure, or young ladies, you didn't have a father figure, we have a model in Jesus, Yeshua, in scripture, and he is the blueprint of how you really have a loving relationship with God and how you love your fellow man. And so we use his principles, apply that to our life so that we don't live the reality that our parents lived, and hopefully we shift the trajectory of the generations that comes after us because we love them properly. We live pure, we live forgiving, we live true with them. I just want to put that in there so that you don't, because sometimes we go back into slavery as though we want to embrace and memorialize that and use that as, we don't have to stay there. We acknowledge that, and now we begin the pathway to coming out of that really sad season of history, and we're moving into liberty, we're moving into mature relationships.
It's heavy what you said. Let me take a nice telephone call. Caller, go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, Howard. Good
hey, what's up, 52?
Pastor Roy.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, Yahshua, God is in control. Now, you know, Howard, Chris made some very key points, but, you know, firstly, during slavery and just post-slavery, I guess, you know, just right after, there was more collectivism. I born in the 60s, so you know, I remember when Alcedo would come from Andres. And the cousins and the family, everybody was more closer together. I remember when we would hop in the Impala, you know what I'm saying, like with the Ku Klux Klan being back in the days. We would go on the beach, we would do things together. The family was more unified. And so for some reason, as we move forward, we see a more individualism.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And, you know, you and Pastor were touching on real things. And so me personally, I have, you see, every generation, and according to what you have in your mind, will give your psychological analogy or outlook on life. And so my own is based on observation and external stimuli, right? What I'm saying is I try to be real. So I always try to prepare my young daughter. I tell her this morning one day I wouldn't be here, and I always encourage her to get her education. And one day I wouldn't be here, and I wanted to take care of herself. And I said, you think I can be here forever? And she said, yes. But, of course, she's very naive, right? So this would be up to those people. But with my parents, I had a fair childhood because my mom punished me the most. my father didn't have to really beat us. I remember my father beating me once. And people who look outside the family, they always thought, oh, he was stricter, but they didn't know nothing. My father, I actually remember him beating me once, and I deserved it. But what I'm saying is I end up loving my mom more than him. But what I'm saying is I was never abused then. So I have a fair balance of how to deal with my children. But as it relates to this problem with this mental, disabilities coming up now, there are different reasons for psychological. I saw a young man who I know was working the other day. This morning he passed. Yesterday, for a couple of days, he passed, right? And he was always, would speak. Sometimes he would come in the shop and he'd ask me for money or to do something like that to help work out. But Pastor, he's out of his mind, it hurt me to see him walk past like a zombie.
Mm-hmm.
He looks stuporized. He's just not even responding. He's walking. Nobody's even checking for him. Like, I watched this young man deteriorate. He used to work and everything, and he just gone downhill from there. And no one is intervening. He's walking up and down. He seems to be more unkempt and whatever, you know. So nobody cares. And so this is what's going to happen. And then we look at the whole chronology of the way our system works. But secondly, I'd like to say that there's no greater crime than selling of human beings, you know. And every race is responsible for it. But what I'm saying is we must learn the truth about it. But this colonial slavery, there's nothing worse than that. When you really look at it and we educate ourselves on it, and some of us believe that we are educated on all of the intricacies of the atrocities and injustices that occurred during slavery, some of us, most of us. Because if you have never listened to a memoir or read a memoir from an ex-slave that was living at the time that it was written or recorded, then you just really listening to what people tell you. And so when we fast forward to the 21st century, right, that you call the 21st century, right, would you admit that 225 would be rougher? But what I'm saying is it is always designed for the status quo people to pacify and deceive or gaslight the masses. I listened to the Cressa. The Cressa said something very interesting this morning, and she said, what are we to do? Just put up arms and say, this is what I call learned helplessness. This is the same thing what she's saying. So then if we as a society adopt this attitude of learned helplessness, then we are doomed, even from a spiritual or religious standpoint, right, Pastor? But, I mean, mm-hmm. when I listen to Aaron Green's uncle, Stanley Mitchell, he talks about the lack of, like, I hear you talking about the inner city. What is being done, Howard? When we look at the schools, you know, the visionless, non-clairvoyant imbeciles that seems to be running the country, right? They are so brilliant, but they can't see where they have made their collective mistakes. These schools have no track and field. The private school, I went to private school, I went to government school. But what I'm saying is the private schools have track and field, they have facilities. But we look at the government schools and we see the neglect. But the geniuses of them have allowed the country's population to grow, but then they haven't facilitated anything, but then they look at them and they're trying to control a gang and they're trying to, listen, man, we are all responsible for this foolishness that's going on. And until we as a people come to real public consultation and dialogue and consensus, this country is just wallowing in ignorance. And Howard, you know, I have nothing against education. People say, you know, I'm a college dropout, but what I'm saying is we can't need a PhD and we can't need a degree. So Pastor Rhodes said something that brought to my mind that we have people here that he said the intellects are staying abroad. My niece and some of my cousins, they didn't come back because we have people triple dipping and quadruple dipping in the treasury. They retired, they go back, they get this position here.
And they come back.
And so how you fight pensions? What's the intentions? Listen, man. I only here for a certain period of time, but I have to express myself to keep my sanity.
I appreciate you.
And this country is joking because I see this country as no different from when the guy was beating the lady by St. Barnabas and one guy came up eventually, but we just sitting by idly by. History would not made, it will not be made by chatter and text, man. I'm telling you, we are joking because something has to be done. We just can't be taking promises.
You should say 52, history will not be made by chatter or text. I can write that down.
It has never been made by that. And so I listen to somebody talk on capitalism, but in their lack of knowledge, maybe they might know. I said on the air, capitalism began when the Pope shared the world in half in the Treaty of Tordesillas, and then subsequently with something called Ocean Monopoly. So
you gotta let me go to this break.
I speak of things that are rare and know. I also can juxtapose the Bible. I had some 7 day. I don't.
52. I gotta go to the break. I appreciate you, my brother. Thank you so very kindly. Gotta go to this break right now. Quick break, guys. Gonna be right back after this.
The Foundation. We'll be back right after this.
The Foundation. You try to rest, roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers, for window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located at the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Here's a price list of some of the roofing material we carry at Pinda Enterprises. 5/8 pressure treated roofing ply starting at $36.68. Gray Select Water Shield, $134.20 a roll. Felt, £15, $16.50, £30, $19.80. Owens, Corning Duration Shingles, and CertainTeed Landmark Shingles, $56.56 a bundle. Gallon of roof cement, $33.47. All sizes treated dimensional lumber. And of course, we have all nails and all screws. We have 5/8 sheetrock, $28.76. Half inch sheetrock, $22.18. All prices include VAT.
Great news! Ron's Electric Motors' new location on Cowpen Road, right next to Island Luck, is open Saturdays and Sundays. So for those needing repairs on electric motors, generators, welding machines, water pumps, battery chargers, electric lifts, transformers, and power tools, Ron's Cowpen Road location can have you up and running on weekends. Don't forget, you can still visit Ron's Electric Motors on Wolf Road and Claridge Road, and now Ron's new location on Cowpen Road. Dial 356-0249 or 323-5255. 267.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2370 packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Foundation. And we are back, ladies and gentlemen. The lines are lit right up. You can give me a telephone call, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, anywhere from the Family of Islands, 242-300. 5720, hit me up, 422-4796. Quick call. Caller, go ahead. Okay, so you get me a home. Next call. Caller on the line, go ahead. Next call. Caller on the line, go ahead.
Hey, good day, Howard.
Hey, what's happening?
Okay. Your guest. That's Reverend Dale.
Yes, sir. Good day.
Good day. How you doing?
Pretty good.
Your church is located well?
We're on Rosetta Street in the Honda Plaza. That's the plaza just east of Roberts Furniture, Mustard and White Plaza, downstairs.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Howard, like 52 said, chatter and talk,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
What he was basically saying is actions speak louder than words.
Mm-hmm.
You see, they have to understand. And then there's something called sharing hands. Back into the day.
Would you call it sharing hands?
Yeah, sharing hands.
Okay, write it down.
Back in the day when our parents went into the fields, right? Everybody would get together, and today we will go into your farm or your field. Tomorrow we'll go in mine. The next day we'll go in Reverend Devon Road. You see what I'm saying? You work as a group.
Mm-hmm.
Like they say, it takes a village to raise a child, and a community effort is what everybody's bringing up, the family and everything. And when you go back to slavery, that's why everybody born together. This individualism is someone referred to it as like, would cause people to try and prey on each other. Remember with that slavery, the white man came down with his ship along the shore. And he turned one tribe against the other. As we captured each other's people, they would ferry them out to the ship and bring them across the Atlantic, never to be seen again, right?
Wow.
What I capture from you,
mm-hmm.
what you capture from the next tribe, they don't care because they take them. So everybody's just picking along. The people come into power. They're looking out for what they're looking for, They know they have a term, and all they want to do is be rapacious, avaricious, and acquisitive, guapalicious, and take what they can take within the little five-year period and carry on. It's despicable to know that the minister was on social media flaunting gifts that they show with their mindsets. Oh, well, you all have a nice day.
Thank you, my brother. I do appreciate your telephone call. I feel like he was going to drift, but anyway, praise God, I'm not going to fight you. All right, but let's talk about this. One of the things that Chris actually started to talk about was this individualism versus a societal view. And how he started to talk about this kind of an idea for the documentary, and I'd like to watch his documentary. I don't know what it is. Text me and tell me what the documentary is, if you know, so I can be able to watch it. He started to talk about how the Caucasians, right, the white who we identify as the white man, has found themselves in this kind of a position where because they come from a scarcity, because they come from where there was an abundance, because there wasn't this kind of a, you know, growth that didn't have access to these particular things. We know stories. We can go all the way back how Africans taught. You would have heard Africans would have introduced certain ways that they keep their bodies into the white society. We've learned these things. We learned these things over the years, right? But after slavery, after they find their niche, after they've used your strength against you, after they found themselves in this kind of a position where they're elevated and you recognize these things and you desire to be able to shift this, everything changed. In our society, amongst where there was, like you said, whether they were sharing hands or this ASU or where there was a very clear aspect of community, the introduction of this independence or this democracy that was given to us cause us to move away from the community and move towards individualism.
Right.
That's a problem.
Right.
That's an issue. And I don't think any of us understand how deep this issue runs. Mm-hmm. I don't think, because what happened is that we grab more and more education, more and more exposure, and we compress it, we compound it, and we teach this and deliver this to our children.
Yep.
And say to them, yep, it's okay to go out on your own. It's okay to stay in the States. It's okay that we justify this by lack that exists in our society.
Yep.
But
right,
but blossomed from nothing.
Right. Right.
We're the same people, but the only way we were able to blossom is with the connection with community. We've lost that.
Yep.
We've lost that.
So with coming out of slavery, the spirit of capitalism went into another gear. You have with the, because Britain dominated the world at that time. The USA coming into the 20th century began to, was established. She's spreading her wings now. And that's, I don't want to say spirit of capitalism is what built America, spilt over into our country,
yeah,
of course. And so the individualistic, and even in education, you is about that individual becoming the champion of the class, the champion of the team, whatever the case is. But it's not who we are as a people. I mean, our strength, as one of the callers said, came out of our working together, the spirit of agreement, the spirit of community, the spirit of family.
This is what Commonwealth was all about. This is the true Commonwealth.
Indeed, indeed.
This is the true Commonwealth. But we've lost that.
We kind of moved away from it. I mean, we got neighbors, even in these gated communities, you live within feet of each other, but
you don't know these people.
You don't know your neighbor. So outside of your community, they're broken down somewhere. You don't even think to stop to help. Maybe you didn't even recognize them. So this is something. Our porch society has been thrown away. The porch was that communal place, but between home and school or school and home, you hailed Mrs. Johnson.
Everyone. You knew everybody on the Ferguson.
And you made sure while you're walking past their house that you are intact, you're behaving properly because you could get a punishment from them.
Time as you get home.
And another one by the time you get home.
They got our old school, what's up? That's it, baby? What?
We are so estranged now that we come to beat up the teacher for correcting your
child. That's crazy,
child.
Isn't it?
I never reconciled that nonsense yet.
Crazy.
It's not helping us. It's not helping us to have stronger relationships at all.
But I think it's what leads to the fact that we don't have the things that we're talking about. We don't have. We have this this culture of unforgiveness that exists in our particular society, and then we have this kind of an idea where we have resentment, we hold on to anger. And the reason we have unforgiveness is because, just like the caller indicated, because of injustice. We feel like no one's going to work these particular things out for us.
We don't have confidence that somebody will help and be
nobody,
fair.
We don't believe that ain't nobody saving us.
I think if we go there, then we must enter also the impact of the absentee father or the detached father. Because it's kind of the same.
That spills all the way back to slavery. That was by design.
Indeed, yeah.
That was by design. I see the lines are lit right up. Let me read this text and then come to the line. The lines are lit right up, guys. You know the number. It says, what the caller is saying is not entirely true. Some Southern white families beat their children far more than blacks. Some of the punishments are even extreme. Some fundamental evangelical beat their children to the point that where their bruises, marks are left. So what he's mostly talking about are liberal white people. Right? Okay. I'm not going to fight you. Let's take a telephone call. Caller, go ahead.
I'm pleasant at Adnan Howard.
Hey, Sparky, what's up?
You know, when you started the show, first of all, I was just sitting there 5 minutes and 13 seconds waiting. But when you first started the show, you and the pastor was talking about male and female and the problems we have getting together, resolving differences, and what we refer to as a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
The word relationship means that we relate.
Okay.
But from time immemorial, men and women are having the differences. Where from time immemorial, it is quoted even in that same book, the version, King James Version, that women are emotional, men are physical. That has been God's design from that one. From day one in the Garden of Eden, there was a difference between Adam and Eve. Mm-hmm. And both of them were supposed to listen to the Most High. Even today, because somebody can come and sit in your room with you and quote all the words of the Bible called King James Version, you hold him up high. We still have this problem today at 52, 7, and if anybody really take time to listen to 52, with all his immaculate words and everything, but you need to listen to the message and not the messenger. Sometimes, Howard, you quote your Bible, you speak on behalf of the Christian society, and you call that book the Word of God. That is the Word of God, according to 47 Oxford scholars in England, during the year 1604 to 1611, that King James the First got together to transform the
book. Sparky, I think you're getting off track. We're talking about forgiveness. We're talking about, and then this is how the thing weaved into the conversation. So the conversation ain't about Bible study, but it's about being.
But Howard, mm-hmm. When you talk about forgiveness, most of you talk show hosts can't forgive some of the mistakes that you call us make.
But why you always, Sparky, why you that brunch?
It's not you, Howard. It's a general perception of our community in the Bahamas. We keep going round and round the mulberry bush every 5 years, doing the same thing over and over. Right, foreigners come in our country and take us over within the clip of a finger and a high week. We've been selling our country out to foreigners because if we look at it at the end of the day, our leaders, our Christian leaders, social leaders, and political, they end up with the piece of the pie and the Bahamian people walk world food looking for corned beef and white rice. And we do it every 5 years. The new leaders, they go to the top of the mountain and they carry their friends, family, and lovers. And they leave.
Yeah, but Sparky, it sounds to me that you have some unresolved issues and some anger issues with politicians also. And that's what we're talking about today. Let me do this quick commercial break, guys, and be right back after this.
The Foundation.
The Foundation with Howard Grant. We'll be back right after this.
The Foundation. The Foundation.
Do you have uncontrollable debt? Are you ready to make that move to Fidelity for a stress-free future? These loans have a built-in sink plan that pays you. Ask about our debt consolidation loans today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
It's time to upgrade the way you enjoy at-home entertainment. Alive Fiber is here. Enjoy all your favorite channels and streaming apps, all at lightning-fast internet speeds with affordable bundles, and it's only a click away. Visit www.alivefiber.com to sign up now. Stay connected, live your life. It's good to be alive.
Beulah gal, can you believe this? We are now the patrol queens of the neighborhood.
We now large and in charge. So we need to check out what's going on in everybody yard. What about that gun that we know that Junior and his homeboys just ran out? Can we report that too?
Of course we can.
But we could be in deep trouble if they find out.
We need to report what we see, Beulah. When you call Crime Stoppers, they just answer your call in Miami.
So then we can report everything? Guns? Where they hiding the drugs? Who shoot who? Who part of which gang? Or who disturbing the peace with a loud music
and us in the Bahamas, and everybody gonna want come live here, and then our house price will go up, gal.
So what we waiting on? What's the number?
If you see something, say something. Let us all pitch in and stop the crime before it's your time. Call 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands, or text us through the Crack Crime Bahamas app. Stop the crime before it's your time.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to take one more telephone call and then let Ambassador Devin Rowe being able to wrap up the show and see exactly what's going on. Caller on the line, go ahead.
Hi, good day, Howard. Yeah, you're hitting it this show, man.
I appreciate you, man.
We were truly made in God's image, because if you follow the spiritual train of thought throughout the entire Bible, I mean, we go through it through our lives. When God created the earth, disruption follows intention. I mean, he intended it to be perfect, but it was formless and void. Mm-hmm. He intended man to stay with him forever, but Satan came. So anytime we have some type of victory, or we intend to have some type of victory in our life, you know, the enemy will always attack you. And the caller, a couple calls back, was asking, you know, who taught who? Like, which father decided to be a good father and start the decency in our lineage? That's your traits are passed through your blood. Like, you don't need to have a living father. That's physical. To bear his traits. You know, some people, they might know your father and your father may have passed, and they say, boy, you look just like your daddy. You walk just like your daddy. You talk just like your daddy. That's no coincidence. But on the same vein, we have a spiritual father. All of us have the same spiritual father, which is God. And throughout the Bible, God gets mad too. You remember the flood? You remember the Israelites? So when we have these battles and trials in our life, we shouldn't really blame anything that's on earth or physical, whether it's the government, whether it's racism, whether it's slavery or whatever. Just go back and remember that your intention, it could only be brought forward through that voice of God. The voice of God changes the entire life. And, you know, sometimes we all have that voice in our head of confusion, which is Satan. You know, it says, oh, did I marry the right woman? Mm-hmm. You know, did I have the right job and stuff mm-hmm. like that? You automatically know that's the devil. Mm. So cast that on the side. And just continue to press forward. You know, stay in that word and go out to you too. Thanks for taking my call.
I appreciate you, man. Thank you so much for that. It's one of the things he said. He says, even God is getting mad too, before you get into this. It's heavy what he says. He says, even God is getting mad too. You know, true. The word of God says to us, says, love your wife like Christ loved the church. Come and talk to me.
Love your wife like Christ loved the church.
Strong love.
And as soon as he walked into the synagogue and these people was being indifferent in there, what'd he do? What? I just want to be decent. Just go right there.
We do not need to leave that on there hanging.
Talk to me.
I'm sure our wives are not in the temple.
We never see him get angry outside of this disorder that existed in the synagogue.
Well, he was correcting misrepresentation. He was correcting.
He wouldn't even let Peter run out and chop the man's ass off.
His love healed. And at the same time, he still brought correction, though. And that's the idea there with the temple situation.
He chased him out.
Yeah, bring correction. Yeah, you don't do this in here.
Not in here.
Not in here.
Okay, praise God.
Right. So, I mean, another beautiful show today. I think our conversation on forgiveness and relationship, I hope it is bringing healing to many who are listening. I want to say a couple high points here is that remember that you do yourself an injustice, even though you were wronged, when you don't forgive. Forgiveness doesn't mean you justify what the person has done. It doesn't even mean that you trust them going into the future. It means that you release their offense because it's only making you sick. Forgiveness is like drinking poison, expecting the other person to get hurt. Doesn't make sense. Also, we need to form a culture in our country where we can find safe spaces or find safe people who can help us to address issues, because these unresolved issues are causing our character not to be given the right representation. All right? And it turns south in the most inopportune times when you don't practice healthy thinking, healthy introspection, healthy, I need to talk about issues that have disturbed me in the past. Don't wait till it comes at the wrong time. And I must, as an advocate for the kingdom of God, I must encourage persons who are minded to do so. You're not forcing anybody. If you have your philosophy, your faith, believe you, and you think it's the right one, well, you hold on to it as hard as you can. But I'm an advocate for the kingdom of God. And so I subscribe to scripture. And Christ says, come unto me, all ye who are heavily laden, and I will give you rest. It's not a spooky, spiritual, emotional situation. It means literally, he's as the Prince of Peace, he can give you the principles that will help your life to be more productive. Also, in 1 Corinthians 11 and 31, here's the foundation for introspection. He says, if a man would judge himself, he would be spared the judgment. So the scripture is directly telling you that God has put within us, the human, his spirit, and we have this sense of knowing right from wrong. And if we look at ourselves and look at the things that we're holding in or holding out against people, correct with the help of God. And if we self-correct, we won't find ourselves offending or being in a position where God has to judge us because of our wrong actions, postures, thinking. And so let's push towards being a healthier nation, Bahamians. Let's get help that we need, whether through spiritual counsel or going for therapy. Let's be our best selves and live this life to the fullest.
Let's help somebody. As the text has come through, I want you to help me with this.
Oh, go ahead.
Okay, let's read this text.
Yeah.
Okay. So it says, Howard, please, please read this text and then answer. That's what they say. They said, is a detached Johnny come lately, 12 years lately father, valuable if he encourages his kids to be disrespectful to the single mother that he abandoned? It's the text. That he abandoned. Manipulating and twisting, spanking and disciplining into abuse. And telling the mother to respect the rude child instead of teaching his kids manners and respect for their mother. Out of spite, disregarding and cutting their life short. This is a text that's coming through. This was a lot. For them to text it, I had to read it. Let's talk about it.
It's a lot.
You got 2 minutes.
Well, if he's an abandoned, is he the father who abandoned the home and abandoned his children? When he comes back, almost like that consultant analogy we gave earlier, he shouldn't really be too active or aggressive in any
you
which way.
Time.
Yeah,
you gotta observe first.
You gotta kind of matriculate your way back into that family setting. Clearly, she obviously has allowed him to find space and come back. But I think his mindset should be earning the confidence and the respect of the children, as opposed to going with brute force. He should be more conversational. And whether he and the mother are back in a relational situation or not, because people don't even think about it at this level. There are many Bahamians, male and female. You're not together, but you have children. I think you should get a counselor or a third party person to help you.
She texts again, or this person texts again, whoever, I don't know if it's a she.
Go ahead.
They says, and buying ungodly gifts. That's what he texts. It says, that is taking them away from God for the kids to reward the kids, even though they're being bad and disrespectful to their mother.
Yeah, no, they
need counseling.
They need an intervention.
You need a mediator.
Mother and father needs to go and sit before somebody.
There needs to be a mediator there.
Yeah, for sure.
And you need an opportunity to be able to do that. You know, I believe a great mediator at Kingdom Discipleship Center can be able to assist you in those particular areas. Give them the number that they can be able to call.
You can call us at 323-5907, 323-5907. Yeah, I'll be glad to give advice or counsel if it is desired.
Okay. Yeah. And also, there are other resources available to you. You can just be able to go on Google and look for therapists, look for counselors, look for these particular things local. Just tap it near you. Can identify these things. Use your discernment. Make a few calls. Find out exactly what's what. Just make those steps consciously. Show the environment. Show the universe that you're seeking to be able to resolve these particular issues. Step out. Yeah. Step out and transform your lives. Yeah. You've got to be able to make that step. You can't. You're one of these people, like Grammy used to say. Grammy's, we used to watch them for the lottery, right?
Right.
But come on. Come on. Say, Florida lottery today, $425 million. So all our cousins said, whoa, if I make this $400 million. You know, Grammy said, well, baby, you can't win if you don't play. we only had 10 years old. She's talking about playing, not about playing numbers, right? Baby, you can't win if you don't play. But that's a principle that applies.
Right. Yeah.
I think a lot of us seek to be able to enjoy this idea of peace and contentment that we see on others, that we perceive on others.
Yeah.
But we're not making those steps to be able to get that. Make the steps, man. Make those calls. Identify these people and make some things happen.
Yep. Agreed.
Guys, I want to thank you so very kindly for listening in today. Thank you so much. I'm hoping that this could be able to transform your life. This has been Ambassador Devin Rowe being able to sit with us here on the Foundation to talk about this transformation. Tomorrow, we're going to continue with that and open up the lines to have this kind of a conversation with you to see reform and transformation, even incrementally in our society, to be able to get to where we want. Guys, going to see you tomorrow. God's Spirit Life right here on the Foundation. Have a great day.
The Foundation. Foundation.